Welcome to the Geeks of the North, humming giving podcast from La Belle Provence. This week, it's just Antoine and I, and we're celebrating our two-year anniversary special. What makes it special? There's no Yom! So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron. How's it going this week, Antoine?
Pretty good. You?
It's going excellent.
Yeah, still crazy?
As crazy as I want to be. So, first, let me congratulate you on 2 years with the podcast.
Yeah, congratulations to you too.
Yeah, it's like a second birthday.
Yeah, it is.
I'll be honest, I didn't... When we started this, I never thought we'd make it to 2 years. And given our release schedule over the last year, I really didn't think we'd make it to 2 years.
Yeah, this year was rough.
We've been so bad. Yeah. I mean, we always go through periods of slowdowns. The beginning of the year, like January, February is tough for me because I'm traveling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then this summer, you know, as we all have kids... And, you know, Muriel's getting older, your kids are getting older, you know, there's more outside of our hobby responsibilities.
And your work has been crazy this year, too. It seems to be crazier than the previous year.
Yeah, that's true. I've been involved in a lot of projects at work, and it's eating into my free time. This is true. Well, on the whole, I'm pretty proud of us. You know, I like to think we produce a fairly entertaining podcast.
I think so, too.
Yeah, you know, we're not... it's tough, too, because we're not really a focused podcast. We're kind of general topic, hobby gaming. And I think that's a tough place to be. Because unless you're... I mean, there are successful podcasts out there, you know, in the same genre. I would say, like, D6G is enormously popular, but they've been at it forever. And... their content is a bit more gaming focused, less hobby than we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aside from that, there's not really a lot of podcasts in our style. And I think it's tough to maintain a listenership.
Yeah, because, I only have a couple in mind.
You know, so someone wants to find a podcast for us. I mean, generally, if I look for a gaming podcast, I'll start searching, you know, for War Machine
by
or
game.
40K. Exactly. You know, how do you search general hobby and gaming podcast?
Yeah, that's multiple games. It's hard. Shout out to the guys at Obisofa for that, because they do about the same thing we do.
Yeah, it's true. And they got good content as well. But yeah, we're few and far between. So I'm pretty proud of what we accomplished. I'd like to think that on the technical side, which, I'll pat myself on the back for, generally speaking, our audio quality is pretty good, and the production value is pretty good. Lord knows some episodes, a lot of editing goes into it to make it listenable.
Yes, there's a lot of hidden work by you.
Yeah. You all the research you do, and it's a lot of work goes into this.
Yeah, the research is not that bad for the main show. It's mostly for the news.
Well, because we moved the news out of the main show into a separate show to give us a chance, right?
Yes.
Anyway, we're going to talk more about this a little bit later on, before I get too into that topic. So, as always, we're going to start our show with the usual stuff. So, we're going to do a little cool stuff on the web, some hobby time and games played. We don't have a question this week. So, I guess after we do all our games, we'll do the hobby tip of the episode, and we'll do a quick break. And then we'll come back with our main topic, which I think will be pretty short. And then we'll do some shoutouts and sign off. So let's get this ball rolling.
Sure.
So I believe it's up to you.
Okay. It's,
the ball's in your court for cool stuff on the web.
This episode, I want to talk about a YouTube channel I stumbled upon last month. It's called La Guerre au Garage, which is in French. It would translate to the Garage War, probably, or War at the Garage.
War in the Garage.
Yeah. It's a couple of French or Belgian guys, I'm not too sure, French-speaking at least, French-speaking Europeans, and they have a YouTube channel, and they produce battle reports. And the...
No, no. Let's... They say, to say they produce battle reports does them a disservice.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to...
They do stuff that, you know, Games Workshop would not have the time or budget to do if they did battle reports.
That's a good thing. That's a good way to put it. It's incredible. The production quality in those videos is incredible. The last one, which I'll link to in the show, is a War Machine Mark III battle report. They do not only do the battle report, they also talk about what's new in the game. And for every explanation, there's a top-down view with beautifully painted models, a superb table. And when they're on the top-down view, they're using those same table and models, but they also have auras and overlays, graphic overlays that move. There's pulse, there's graphic for spells, there's runes when a caster is casting something or an anima is cast. It's incredible. And you have a lot of views. I never seen something of that quality in the channel for a war game before.
Yeah, and I just want to say, even if you don't speak the language, it is worth checking out. Just watch 5 minutes, right? And you will have such an appreciation for the work these people do. It is insane.
Yeah, I've read a bit through it, and they have about a month of editing per episode.
Oh, I totally believe it. It is phenomenal. It is nothing less than phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. For people who can understand it or want to show, tip them for the help, they have an account on TP, which is a website that's similar to Patreon but French. It works the same way. So for every battle reports they produce, you can tip them a certain amount, and that helps them run the show, take the time for the editing, gets the lightning, the cameras, and everything. So if you like the content, it's worth giving them something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll link to the TP page at the same time.
Good stuff. All right. So let's jump on into hobby time. For once, I didn't paint 46 models. Even though it's been a long time since the last show, I kind of didn't have a lot of hobby time, so I've only painted a few things.
Well, I'm sure you forgot some.
I don't think so.
Not this time? You always forgot some. You always paint more than you think.
Yeah, well, I think the last show we talked about me painting my Zuzzy mat for the Taco Bowl. So, since then, I haven't really done anything. It's been a sad, sad time for my hobby. But I did finally get my fisherman team painted, or at least a good chunk of them. Mm-hmm. So I talked a few times about how I'd struggled with a paint scheme or whatever. And then a couple weeks back, I sat down and I painted 6 models in 2 evenings. And the Nulls aren't quite finished. I'd say I've got 1 or 2 that are pretty much finished except for bases. And then the other 4 are about 95%, 90-95%, just a couple small details left. So I'm really happy with how they came out. Maybe we can post a link or whatever to Siren or something, since he's the one that's mostly done. I should have left the models with you to take some nice pictures. But yeah, I think they came out great for the time I spent on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm figuring I've spent 2.5 to 3 hours a model.
It's a really good result for that amount of time.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going for. I mean, I knew I was never going to attain, and this is not a shot at myself, it's just I don't have the patience to do what you and Yom do with those models, but I wanted to have something that I wouldn't feel embarrassed putting on the table against yours. So I think I found a good balance between the quality of the paint job and the speed.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm pretty happy. You know, for models that are going to be played with and not display models. I'm quite happy. Aside from that, I picked up... So I had the Fisherman Starter, and at Adepticon, I picked up Sakat. Sakana. Jeez. That's a type of hat. Anyway, yeah, Sakana, Salt, and I got Gutter as a free giveaway model at Adepticon. So I finished up my team with those three models. And then since then, I had ordered Kraken and Grayscales. And you gave me Corsair. Thank you very much. So I have my Season 2 Captain. And then I ordered the rest of the Union people that could play for my team. So right now, all those models are assembled. I think with the exception of one. I think Snakeskin's not assembled. So I've been pretty productive that way. And aside from that, I assembled a Grolar for my Kador army that I was going to try to paint before TempleCon at the end of the month, but I just don't see it happening.
No, you're
I've got
business events almost.
I've got month. 1 week. 1 week between my last business thing and TempleCon. So maybe if I have a couple evenings to myself, I could paint that and finish up some other stuff I want to play. Because I want to play all painted at TempleCon, because I'm just doing Iron Arena. Mm-hmm. But having all painted is just nice, and it gets me an extra point for every game at Iron Arena, so it's always good. It won't be a super competitive list.
No, and to be honest, you could already play fully painted. You just want new models in your list.
I want some more variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I could play fully painted forever ago. Yeah, I just want some variety.
Try the new stuff. Or new wish.
Well, everything's kind of new, right? Mark III has changed everything, and I got to get some. Oh, yeah, that week true. Between, I've got to get a couple Mark III practice games in. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. It's killing me. I sit there and I dojo lists all the time. And, I sound like I know what I'm doing. I totally don't know what I'm doing. I make lists. None of them will work probably, but, you know, they're fun. I War Room is one of my, the best video game I've ever played. yeah, but I've got a couple ideas for kind of wacky lists. But of course, they all involve models that I haven't finished painting. One being my battle engine for Kador, the Grolar being another one. And I've got to paint a destroyer, a second destroyer.
For sure.
Well, so I've got this, and we're going to talk a little about list for now, but I've got a list I want to try where it's all ranged. So you've got the... I think it was Conquest, two destroyers, the Bombardiers, Widowmaker Marksman Kel'Baliok.
Okay.
Under Vlad 1 for Signs Importance. So hopefully everyone's hitting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I had the Conquest in that list as well, or if I had enough points for that. Because I made some of that. I made that list with Conquest, and I think I made one without, and I don't remember.
The final one, which version it was.
Yeah, exactly. And now this is bothering me.
I need to work on the list, too. I'm having my first 75-point game this week. So.
Yeah. So, sorry, the final list I made was Vlad 1, Conquest, Destroyer, Winter Guard, Gun Carriage, and Man of War Bombardiers. So, all templates everywhere. I'll die horribly, but it'll be fun. Thank God there's no clock in Iron Arena. Because I have an impression all those templates would slow me down.
Models, though. Yeah, more templates, all those templates, less models.
So
it might balance out.
Yeah. So it might be fun. Anyway. And then I guess I'll go into games played right away.
Mm-hmm.
I only played one game. And it was against you.
Yeah, not a productive month.
So we played Guild Ball. I finally got a full game in as opposed to just a demo. And it was my Fishermen versus your Butchers.
Yep.
And with your help, I managed to beat you. So that already makes me a better player than Steve. Just throwing that out there. Don't worry, Steve. I don't actually believe that. Antoine helped me out a lot. There's a lot of, you know, Paul, if you did this and that, and then do this, then you could score, and I can't stop you. Oh. Well, then I guess I'll do this and this and that, and then I'll score, and then you can't stop me. But that's okay. It was a great first game. I have to say, you are probably the best person I've ever played, like in a new game situation, where one person has a lot of experience and the other one has none. You are definitely an awesome first opponent in that regard.
If you like to not be beaten down trying a game, maybe. Yeah, as you mentioned, I'm helping, but some people like to learn the hard way. I'm not good for that.
Yeah, but if I told you, you know what, don't help me, let me lose, you'd do that. But yeah, it would take the fun out of the game for you.
Yeah, it's not how
find it fun that way. Yeah. And honestly, I like this because the thing about Guild Ball is it's not a high model count, but there's a lot of interaction and there's a lot of, the rules are simple, but there's a lot of possibilities.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and the rules themselves are simple, but there are so many synergies, options, and...
And you don't necessarily see it all, right? No, you read the rules, sure. You go, okay. But you don't necessarily get an idea of how to execute that on the table just by reading the rule book. And every army plays different. And I'm playing the fishermen, who are very much not like any other army I play in any other game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're kind of a hit and run, play the ball, don't really get in your face type of
They're like a scenario faction. If in a war game, most war game are either kill or do control points and stuff like that, and they only do the control points. They don't do the killing.
Yeah, and I always tend to play very hard armies.
Yeah, aggressive. In terms hard, of tough.
Aggressive, yeah, tough. With, you know, high armor, whatever. In every game, it's kind of just the way I play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the fishermen are not that. The build you're using.
Yeah, and it makes me think of when I tried playing Circle that first time, and I could not figure out how to do anything because the models just didn't do what I was used to War Machine models doing, right?
Mm-hmm. I remember our first game of War Machine together. Yeah, your Circle one versus my pigs. Yeah.
And I just had no idea what was going on half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So... No, but all in all, great game. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to my next game. I want to get 4 or 5 games in before I go to TempleCon because I'm going to play against Steve and one of our listeners and friends, John Chastney, is going to be down there. So I'm going to play in him too. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I wish I was going, but not this year.
Well, maybe we'll just have to have our own con up here to play games at.
Yeah, probably. But when we do that, I'm usually running it, so I don't play.
Well, maybe we'll have to fix that. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. So that wraps up my games. Antoine, the floor is yours.
Okay. I worked on a bunch of Guild Ball pitches because they were for Taco Ball. So I did the markings on 3 pitches, and I ruined the 4th one.
Well, ruined is a harsh term. We'll have to touch it up because you made a mistake.
Yeah, but
right? We'll have to fix it.
It's unusable for anything right now because of that. Because there's a giant white line not at the right place.
Yeah. Is this week Guild Ball?
No, it's next week. So the week you're in San Diego, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to say I'll get you the paints to do a quick touch up on that, but...
We'll find a way.
Yeah, it's okay. There's always. It's not like we need it by tomorrow, right? We've got tons of pitches now, so.
No, for sure. We had a lot. We had too many pitches at the tournament, for sure. I think I had 3 spares. Yeah. And some people didn't bring theirs, so.
There is no rush for the moment.
No, for sure. So I did that. I finished Boiler, my turn model for my Butchers. So I have my starter fully painted. On to the next one. I'll probably just finish Princess because she's already started and it's a small model. Being the mascot, it's a small animal, so she would probably be a quick paint job. But after that, I don't know when I'll be able to go back to those because I have some commission and other projects in the line. So we'll see. Also for Taco Bell, I painted the 9 small pieces from the TH miniature line by Teresa. Same models I worked on. Same models, same pieces, and same line I worked on for Kiesle de Cas here. But I wanted to have the smaller one because for War Machine, we tend to use bigger pieces of terrain. But for Gibbald, most of the obstruction you want to use must be maximum of 2 inches around. And those were not done. So I did a batch. And finally, I did some test mold with a new molding material for my gravity feed caster. The material I was using before its shelf life was past for 10 years, I think. So
yeah, it was something insane.
Yeah, so the mold were not of good quality right now, and they were not fully setting the vulcanization, the room temperature vulcanization didn't work well. The detail were lost. So I needed to try something else. I was able to find a product by Smutan that do room temperature vulcanizing for metal. So I tried that on two of my old green skulls. One is a 10 millimeter scale dwarf that I did for Warmaster, and the other one is Mizonian. I just did a new mold for it because anyway the old mold I have is trying to show some tears, and it's showing its age. So the material casted well, the quality is there, and I did some test pouring this week, and the pours were good. They were not perfect, but I know that I need to tweak the temperature, get the mold to a good temperature too.
Well, that's it. You got to warm up the mold and everything too, right?
Yeah, so. And the metal was probably not hot enough, and there was probably not enough in my cauldron, because when there's not enough, it dribbles instead of pouring because there's not enough pressure in the cauldron.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't maintain its heat the same way.
Yeah. So it's. It was setting too fast and not filling for the dwarf. So I think it's just some tweaking needed.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't think I'm going to go and do a complete 10 millimeter scale line of metal miniatures soon anyway. But it was just to do some tests for the Olaf, the Snow Golem model I'm working on for Direct. So right, I know the material works now. So I'm up to doing him next and finishing the arms and doing some test cast for it to know if the metal works for it. If not, I'll try some resin because the molding I have works for both material anyway. So I can use the same mold for either metal or resin, which is a good thing.
Well, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
That particular one can work for both. The other I was looking at don't work for either resin or metal, but this one can do both, so it's a good thing.
So I guess, what would be the downside? I'm trying to think why a molding product would not work for resin. I guess because it reacts with the...
Yeah, it might react with the silicone or something.
And because I know resin heats when it sets, but I mean, that wouldn't really affect a mold that can resist metal heat should have no problem resisting resin heating.
Oh, no, for sure.
So it must be a chemical interaction.
Mm-hmm. Or it might stick to it.
Yeah, it's true.
Depending on the type of silicone, the type of rubber used for the molding.
Mm-hmm.
So. But the one I have can do both. So I'll be able to try it out if metal doesn't work. Which is good.
Very cool. Or maybe resin might be cheaper once you run out of metal, because you bought that metal years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Buying that right now would cost me I was looking for a comparison, but I'm not finding it right now. So an arm and a leg, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's about it for my hobby. On the game side, it's a lot of Guild Ball. So at Taco Bell, I played as a ringer because we were a number.
At Taco Bowl, not Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, attackable.
Yeah, that's Steve rubbing off on you, buddy.
Yes, for sure. So attackable. Played 3 games there. Played another 3 games last week. 2 with the 80% G and 1 with Hugh. Also did 3 or 4 demos, I'm not even sure, in the last month. 8 people, I think. Because there were, most of those were double demos.
Well, I know you did a demo, you were demoing with 80% G and Dan last week, or you were assisting them as they kind of already played demos.
Yeah, it was.
You were helping them with the rules and stuff.
Yeah, it was helping them with their first game. Because I demoed both of them previously, but it was old, not fresh in their mind.
Yeah, I like the fact that they didn't know how to start a game.
Yeah, that was coming out of the demos.
Coming out of the demo, you don't, right?
It's just you're missing that part. So
yeah,
gave that. Also, one demo I want to mention is Steve's Daughters. I gave a demo to both of them at his place.
That's pretty awesome.
It was a strange demoing for a violent soccer game for hooligans to a 7-year-old.
Did all she cute get it?
With the ponytail and everything. Yes, yes. And Steve has been having them play against each other recently.
His wife must be so sad.
Is that or Pokemon Go? So
yeah. She thought she was getting little girls. Steve is already like, yeah, play this game with the hooligans.
Yeah,
let's play some X. And let's play some
X-Wing. Star Wars and stuff.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Like he's geekifying them. Good for him.
Lego, Star Wars, miniature games.
Exactly. As it should be.
So as I said, a lot of Guild Ball. But however, I was able to get 2 other games in there. So Relic Knight came up with their 1.5 rules. It's an open beta for their update.
I was going to say, is it 0.5% more playable?
There's not a lot of tweaks.
Or 50% more playable, I guess? Yeah.
Because it's only like 3 or 4 or 5 main rules were changed, and not by much, but it does help a lot. And I played that against Steve, his Black Diamond versus my Shattered Swords. And it was fun because the game was... we were both rusted. We had to check rules, and the game was long because of that. Because I think last game was at least 1 year ago.
Right.
But it was close, and some of the frustration, like one of the options some unit have is a guard that can stop an attack. And some redirect. We do the same thing, but transfer the damage to another target.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shattered Sword, the one I play, have a lot of them. And in some cases, the opponent cannot do anything to you. If you have the right card in your hand, or you were able to get enough Eldesper on your models, you could just block everything. Or worse, half of my model have redirect to the enemy, not to friendly units. So I could just transfer the damage to them, or even pick the unit I wanted to have the damage put on. So they tweaked that. Now guards only block half of damage, and the redirect also only transfer only half. So you're still taking some damage, which is a good thing. It makes for less of a one-sided game.
Wasn't there also something about slamming people in the walls?
Yes, that's another correction they did. It slamming people wasn't the problem. It was slamming units. Because the damage was... how it worked is... You took 3 damage when a model hit the wall, but for a unit, it was 3 damage per guy. However, the armor was applied only once. So pushing a full unit in a wall for smaller guys could most of the time kill the full unit.
Wow, okay.
So now, instead of doing that, you do 3 damage plus 1 for each model that hit a wall. So you might lose 1 or 2 guy, but you're not losing the full the full squad. Which makes a lot more sense. And another of the thing they did, which what they call is the danger zone for a unit. So the model targeted, there's a bubble around him, and those are the only model that can be affected by an attack. And they reduce the size of the danger zone. So less model are affected by single attacks.
Okay, makes sense.
So a bunch of things that are good. I'm playing a second game against another opponent probably next week. With they already did an update to the update with player comments.
Okay, and, so feedback.
Yeah, feedback. So it all makes sense. That was stuff that Steve and I saw anyway. So I'm sure it will just help even more. So it's cool. I like the game. I really want to get it out. But every time I've mentioned wanting to play it on our local group recently, there's only one person that answered me. So.
Yeah, sorry about that, buddy.
Not looking good. But that doesn't matter. As long as I have a couple of opponents, that's fine. I'll be happy.
I do have most of my Black Diamond assembled.
Mm-hmm.
I could, in theory, play.
Yeah, but you don't even have time for a game you want to play.
Well, that's just it, right? So, yeah, I'm at that point where if I can play a game, it's going to be War Machine or Guild Ball. Or eventually that game of 40k against Yom, if that ever happens. But
mm-hmm. For his next birthday, maybe.
Yeah, we've never been this late before. We're like months behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other game I was able to play was my first game of Freebooters Fate. Let's talk about another game without opponents.
Yeah, well, that's an even more eclectic game, right? Yeah. At least Relic Knights, everyone and their son bought into the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So but everyone has models.
Didn't even try the game.
Yeah. I think people were so disenfranchised with it. By the time it came out, they just wrote it off.
And the casting quality was lackluster, to say the least.
At best.
Yeah, so the Freebooters Fate game was against Mark. We were playing a starter level, because that's the only thing I have. I have multiple captains, because I took a second one from one of the Kickstarter they ran. But a second captain doesn't help you when you can only use one in your crew.
Yeah, okay.
I was using my goblins against his brotherhood. Goblins are a bunch of... are goblins. They're pirate goblins, but it's still goblins.
I was going to say goblins are goblins, right?
Yeah. And the brotherhood are a gang of assassins. Stealthy dudes with mostly close combat weapon. So it worked because I do have a bunch of... range weapon with the goblins. They're mostly bad, but at least I was able to shoot before it got into end-to-end. We're playing a scenario with a treasure chest, and we had to get the treasure chest out of the game, out of the map, which was bad because all the goblins veteran model I have, because they're veteran, they all have peg legs. Because a goblin to be promoted must lose a limb, it seems. And having a peg leg reduces your movement. So it was not helping me getting to get an objective piece out of the board when you're slowed down by the objective and slowed down by your pig leg. So I think a couple of my veterans got shot and died carrying the treasure. And finally, one of my regular deckhand got the treasure and was able to get it out because he was moving faster.
Nice.
The game is fun. It really needs three terrain and more terrain on the board. We were playing with what I would call a War Machine map. We had a bunch of terrain on it, but it was nothing that we could really climb over or interact with. So I think it still worked. I think it would just add to the feel of the game. There's rules for jumping, swimming, and a bunch of stuff like that. So
yeah, you know, when you describe the game... and how the terrain kind of worked. All I could think of originally was Necromunda.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good comparison, right? It's that whole 3D level. Like, the game really needs to have that whole 3D environment.
Yes, it does.
To you know, really get its full effect.
Probably not to the same extent as Necromunda.
No, for sure.
But it would help. The only gripe I had about the game is how they do hit location in combat. You each player has a deck of cards, of six cards, and those are body location, head, torso, leg, bolt arm, stuff like that. There's only one I'm missing, and I don't remember which one it is. Doesn't matter.
Abdomen. So, there's the...
Yeah, abdomen. Yeah, that's true. And each of these locutions is associated to one of the rules. So the head is associated to your attacks. And if your head get damaged or there's a critical hit to your head, your stats are reduced. So when you do an attack, you have your stats, let's say, is 2 in your attack and 3 in your defense. So the attacker will pick 2 cards secretly that he wants to hit, and the defender will pick, in that case, 3 cards. So let's say the attacker picks head and right hand. The defender picks head, torso, and leg. The right hand passed through, so the defender is hit. But that's the only way to be hit. You need to do that little mini game and see if there's a hit. After that, there's a roll to see if there's damage. And if there's damage, you can pick another card. And if that card is lower than the amount of damage you did, it's a critical.
Yeah, so it's the blind bidding idea is kind of cool.
But it adds a lot of time.
Yeah, it to bogs a
game
down
that
things.
Is really fast. The game is fast and fun. But all the damage location thing, I think, almost doubled the time of the game. And it does add to the concept because, okay, I was carrying a chest when he was trying to attack me. It was a good thing for him to aim for the legs because it would reduce my movement. But as a defender, I know that he want me to be slower, so I could easily block the legs. So he can go for the counter and not aim for the leg when he know how be defending them. And so there's a bit of a mind game there. And it just makes... I think it just makes the game longer for not so much of a positive effect. But however, I still liked it. And it was a first game, so just remembering which body part had which effect, what associated which stat, didn't help because I had to check every time we did it. So it probably goes faster, but it's a comment I've seen online, and some people even go as even pick the card randomly because they find that it doesn't really matter anyway.
You know, it makes me think. Sorry for the dramatic pause before. I think you were waiting for me to say something, and I didn't have anything to say. It's because I was thinking that it made me think of playing Dungeons and Dragons with hit locations. I don't know if you ever did that when you played D&D. And how
I don't think I did it with D&D, but I did it with other RPGs.
So. Yeah. And the thing is, D&D combat is already a slog, right?
Yes.
Especially in the older editions. And that was hit locations are always such a cool thing. And anytime we tried integrating them playing D&D back in the day, it just made combat so painfully long that we quickly threw it out the idea. And it sounds like this miniature game is the same thing, right? It's a super cool concept, but it just turns combat into a slog. So you try to find ways to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like people, you're saying people are randomly drawing cards as opposed to bidding. Yeah, it's a shame. Sometimes you know what's good in theory just doesn't work in practice.
Yeah, but the rest works well. The game is fast. You have random events that can happen depending on the cards you draw because it's all card base. So some of the cards have a little chest on them, and if you pick one of those cards, you immediately pick draw an event card, which adds some random effects that you can either get in secret in your hand and play when it matters, or event curses and the bad stuff that can happen to you if you pick them. So if you draw them, which is cool. The game was thematic, it fit, it was fast, but as I mentioned, it's just a combat I'm not too sure.
Yeah. So,
but I'll see after another game. Mark is ready to play another one. And I'm sure there are other local players. I know at least a couple more that have crews that are looking forward to play anyway. So,
is that, you say Mark, is that Mark Caron? Or?
Yes, Mark Caron from
MC Studios. Studios.
Yeah.
Oh. Shout out to MC Studios for making awesome, affordable terrain.
Yeah. Sadly, not for pirate games.
Well, who knows what the future holds?
He's already adding 10mm sci-fi to his lines. Right now, so...
That's dangerous.
He has enough work on his ends.
Well, you know, that could be interesting, because...
Oh, for sure.
Because there's a certain game coming down the road that's going to be 10, 11 millimeter.
And there's another one we're already playing?
Are you talking about
Drop Zone Commander?
Drop Zone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that's cool. But I'm thinking of a certain Warhammer game coming, which I think is 10 or 12 millimeter.
Epic is 6.
No, but the new one. They're launching a...
They're launching it at higher scale.
They're launching a Titan Legion game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have infantry and stuff. It's going to be all Titans battling, you know, in a city or whatever. Or on a planet. And because everything's digitally sculpted now, they showed a 12 millimeter Warlord Titan, and it looked awesome. So I'm scrapping my daughter's college fund already, and I'm renaming it the Epic Version 2.0 Warhammer Fund. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of 10 to 12 millimeter games. Like we've mentioned in the news recently, the Evigear new edition is coming out, which is also 12 millimeter. Mark has started to play Horizon War, which is a generic models sci-fi game, so you can use about anything you want, and that's why he started to do the 10 millimeter to have terrains for his own game.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's a lot, and there's Polyversal, there's a Firestorm.
It's
Planetfall. Planetfall, yeah. In the Firestorm.
It's definitely that whole scale is exploding because it lets you have big armies and you don't need a whole house to hold them in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it looks good on the table. I really like smaller scales like that, 6 to 10, 6 to 12.
Oh, we've talked a lot about Dystopian Wars and stuff where it looks amazing on the table.
Yeah, Warmaster looks amazing too. Yeah. Ranks of models at that size really look like grand armies.
Absolutely.
And that's it for my games.
All right. And we were worried we wouldn't have much of a show. We're already 40 minutes in, and all we've talked about is, you know, us and our stuff. All right. So
I have a small thing. I mentioned I run the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't only play in it, I ran it. It was the first Guild Ball tournament locally. We had 7 players. It was won by our own co-host, Yom. And he was fairly beat by 2 of his opponents the week after. So might have been just a beginner's luck.
It was a fluke. It's all a fluke.
He also got the best painted and the best goal.
Well, I was going
to
say
the goalie was the only one with to have a custom goal, I think. But there were other painted team, and it was the coolest for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to say maybe people were just so impressed with his models that they were distracted by them and they weren't playing effectively.
Maybe.
But by the second week they knew what to expect, so yeah, they could play for real.
All his games were really tight. I think 2 of them went to time. And in Guild Ball, when you get the clock finish, your chess clock finish, you start to have timed turns, and every turn give points to your opponents. So both games went. I think his 2 last game went to time, so they were close, and both opponents were on the verge of winning, I think. So it was cool. The event ran really well, except that the stores opened late. So it put us a bit behind, but we were able to catch up during the day, which is cool. The game go fast. Even the tournament games, once you add the timer, we were under our round time every time.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do, right? You know, store opens late. Stuff happens.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, it's going to happen. But at least the rounds were ahead of schedule and... So you probably didn't end up too late at the end, which is nice.
No, we took a shorter breaks, but it didn't matter because most people had finished earlier in the round anyway.
Right.
And the dinner, we took a bit shorter dinner. So in the end, we finished early anyway. So
It was cool.
Yeah. So really fun to run. All players seems happy, and I was asked multiple times when is the next. So I need to check my schedule, talk with the store, and we'll do another one.
I will do my best to be at the next one.
Cool.
So I can lose gracefully. Or semi-gracefully. Okay. So I think that wraps up our hobby in gaming.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So why don't you continue talking and talk about the hobby tip of the episode?
Okay. So this one is not something I've tried, but it's something I've seen today that was shared by 80%G on the web. So the tip is from Diorama Man. It's an hobbyist on Facebook. You can look for his page at facebook.com/dioramaman, all in a single word. So the tip is for palm trees to have realistic palm trees. For the leaf, it's always a pain to do tree leaves or tree foliage or anything, but he found a way to make them realistic and it looks really good. So he's using bird feathers. So color them, trim them. Use the shorter one to have the stem not being too big. But he'll have a bunch of pictures on his page and they look amazing. Yeah, he's looking forward to do a pirate table now. And that was something I didn't know how to do, the trees. And now I have an excellent resource to look at.
Yeah, he's got a lot of really interesting stuff on his page. Definitely worth checking out. I mean, he seems to do stuff for museums.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not just miniature dioramas for our miniature gaming. It's real life pieces in miniature, which is really cool.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue talking about us. So we'll be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right, folks. Here it is, the main event. Us talking about us. 2 years in.
Happy anniversary again.
Yeah. Happy anniversary to us. It's been a bit of a journey. We've seen the shows change quite a bit. Maybe not in terms of content, but in terms of how we present the content. Definitely, I think we've gotten smoother at it. It's a little less forced, a little more casual. A little more blah blah. I remember when we started this, like we did our episode, was it 7 or 8? We did the Nagash review, right? And it was almost a page by page, like 4 hour extravaganza of Warhammer Fantasy.
Oh yeah, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it totally
and
was.
There was so much to cover in that book.
Oh no, absolutely.
Anyway. Yeah.
But the show has changed a lot since then, I find. Right, we don't do the crazy in-depth reviews. We kind of talk high level,
mm-hmm.
more personal experience, less rule specific stuff. Also, just because we're not—I don't think any of us are that hardcore gamer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have no time.
Just look at the Guild Ball review. We went almost we went pretty deep into the rules.
That's true.
But we just
don't
do
kind of fanatical about it.
Yeah, for sure. But we don't do many game reviews overall. I think that's mostly why.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's one, our release schedule has been kind of erratic. Yes. So like we didn't do a Mark III episode. We talked about it, but what's the point in doing a Mark III episode 2 months after it's released, right? Unless, which we could still maybe do, is kind of a the dust has settled. How does everyone feel about the game?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's not going to be a super, in-depth rules analysis. That's really not what we're about.
No,
for the most part, right? I mean, yes, we have specific games we might be super interested. Pardon me, like the Guild Ball,
mm-hmm.
Like the Guild Ball episode. But on the whole, we kind of dabble in so many things. It's not really our style.
Yeah, and most of us don't, we don't all play the same games. So I don't see myself going deep into Freebooter's Fate alone while you three just listen.
We could do a co-host corner where it's just Antoine talking about Freebooter's Fate for 2 hours.
Nope.
Someone would listen to it, I'm sure.
No, you know, I don't
John,
think so.
John Chastney while he's skiing, or Mark Maxey while he's mowing the lawn.
Yeah, it's just because John has his mittens in and cannot skip. Or yeah,
exactly. Exactly. See, we got it all planned out. And actually, you know, that's a good segue. One of the cool things about the show is it's let us meet people we wouldn't necessarily have started talking to or met.
Oh, for sure.
You know, having people listen to us and going to an event like Adepticon or whatever and having someone walk up to me and go, are you Paul from that podcast? It's a crazy feeling. And I know you've had that happen to you as well.
Yeah, locally.
You know, it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, we're not celebrities by any stretch, by any stretch of the imagination. But it's cool that people recognize us by our voice, or in your case, your sexy, sexy accent. And
yeah,
you know, it gets we get to talk to people we wouldn't necessarily talk to. And I'd like to think I've become kind of friendly with some of these people. You know, Mark's a great example, and I'm sure he'll listen to the show. Or he better listen to the show if he knows it's good for him. But we've chatted a few times, and I consider him, you know, more than an acquaintance, maybe not a close friend, but we're friendly, and that never would have happened without the show. So I think it's a really cool thing.
Yep.
And
I've had less of that because once the podcast started, I don't think I went to any convention, but I still had that locally. I was able to meet people that recognize me, or like one of the people we mentioned off on the bus, yes, Mike Derspeter, he's a local player, and I've yet to meet him because our schedule always fall out, and he leaves the store before I get there or anything. So it's just funny. Somebody who we talk with or about on the web almost every week and still play at the same store and still haven't met him.
Well, for the longest time, he was the only one that would send us questions.
Yes, for sure.
And he sent us a lot of good questions too. You know, it was really interesting. You know, and I look back at some of the people we've talked to on the show, and it's surprising. Like, there's a lot of good content. You know, it sounds funny, but me saying for my own podcast, there's a lot of good content there that I never thought we would be able to do stuff like that. You know, talking with Meg, getting kind of like her history of how she got into miniature gaming, or having Liz Beckley on the show. Speaking with Ryan when he was developing Quarantine Zone America, you know, and getting kind of his history, or Brandon Palmer, you know, talking about how he decided how he was going to build the Golden Throne for Adepticon as a display board.
Mm-hmm. Like, or Brian Steele.
Or Brian Steele, yeah. Like, how he created one of the most valuable models in War Machine today.
That's true.
Right?
It's funny because he mentioned how he worked for Dark Age for a while, was doing something else, and now, months after, he's back with Cool Mini and he's working on Dark Age again.
Yep. That's funny how sometimes you run in circles in life, right?
Yeah.
You know, go full circle. So I think it's been, on the whole, a pretty interesting ride. And I'm curious to see where we go with it down the road. I mean, there's all kinds of people I'd love to have on the show. If I could ever get people's schedules to align. You know, James Wapple. I talk to Jim fairly often, but I have yet to have him on the show. And he's probably like of all the artists I know, he and Liz Beckley are the two I talk to the most. And Liz has been on the show, and Liz has come up here and stayed with me in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch her, make sure she didn't steal my daughter. But aside from that, it was, you know, she was really good company.
Yeah, she would have trouble getting her true custom.
Probably.
Lot of counterfeit documents needed.
Exactly. You know, like I talk to Jim all the time. We keep talking, we're going to get you on the show. We're going to do something. But his schedule's so crazy and our schedule's so erratic, it's impossible to plan. Like, we decided we were doing this show, 5 hours ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we haven't recorded in a while. We should record something for our anniversary. Okay, yeah, let's do it tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, our schedules are crazy, especially yours.
Well, it runs in cycles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always something though, right? Especially now with four of us. You know, as soon as you start adding more people, it becomes more and more complicated to plan.
Yes.
We
have to do shows in two parts, recording the first part one night and the other part later because it's too much of a time commitment to record the full 2-hour episode with all four of us at the same time.
And that's always challenging, right? Because then, you know, different volume levels, different whatever, and you're trying to keep the show consistent so you don't come from one section to the other and then blow someone's eardrums out because suddenly, you know, I'm 30% louder than I was in the previous recording.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work to make it kind of consistent, you know? And also, I think, you know, if anyone listened to the actual intro of the show, yeah, I kind of did a little jab at Yom there. But I really do enjoy having Yom and Steve on the show. I find they add a lot. They've got interesting opinions. You know, they're interesting characters. And we're all different. Like, personality-wise, we're all pretty easygoing. But we're all very different, I find.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have different thoughts about the games and different points of view.
A different approach to the hobby, to painting, to gaming itself.
Steve
being more competitive.
I was gonna say,
being more hobby focused and
high
level hobby focused.
And then me being the social butterfly.
Hobby butterfly.
I'm the social butterfly, right? I go and talk to I will go anywhere to any con, any store, talk to anyone. I'll walk out of there with a dozen friends. I won't get any gaming done, but you know, I'll have met all kinds of people and done all kinds of talking.
Yeah.
Steve is the nicest win at all cost player I've ever met. You know,
nice way to put it.
He'd almost trick you into thinking he was casual, but because he's sneaky that way. But no, seriously, he's you know a great player and a lot of insight. And you know, one of the things that makes me saddest about Warhammer Fantasy dying was that I didn't have anything to play with Steve anymore. Now we've got Guild Ball, and I'm hoping I can really get into that and, you know, start developing that community. Maybe play in a tournament with him at some point or do something fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I went to Adepticon last year, and I played with Steve in the team tournament, and we had some fun playing Fantasy. And I was just kind of starting to get to know him, and then Fantasy died. You know, it kind of killed our main
link.
Well, it was our main common interests.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, he paints to have painted models to play with, but painting is not the same pleasure for him that it is for me or you, I think. You know, he likes painting, but I don't think he draws doesn't have the same effect for him, right?
Yeah.
So we stopped seeing as much of him on the hobby hangout that we do. Yom does a lot of hobby, but he has a hard time concentrating while trying to keep a conversation at the same time. So we've seen less and less of him too, as he found it made it harder for him to work. You know. But I think you know, they're both great additions to the show, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
So don't fear. They'll be back next episode.
Yeah, I'll have new and interesting ways to make fun of Yom. That's my promise to listeners. Poryo. I only tease because I love him.
Yeah.
So, what... I don't know, Antoine, what would you... Actually, this could be interesting feedback from the listeners, too. If there was anything you could change about the show, what do you think it would be? Yeah, I put you on the spot, eh?
I like our format.
Just don't say get rid of the main host, because
no,
I'll be heartbroken.
You are the rock of this show.
Wow. It's probably because I'm the only native English speaker. That's the... I can provide words when you guys can't find them.
Yeah, it helps. You're smoother because you're native too, but you're also a smooth talker.
Oh.
Well, it goes well with what you mentioned. The casual hobbyist, casual gamer. You go in a place and you get out with everybody knowing your name and their friend list on Facebook. So it shows in the way you present the show and everything. So we couldn't do it without you, or not in English at least.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I like the change we made getting the news out, which helps get something out regularly and not make the news section, because we must be honest, the news segment on some of the old full episodes were out of date fast. By the time they were out, the new, some Kickstarter had ended before we even released the episode.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree. I like that weekly news release. Mm-hmm. I know we've got a couple of listeners who are friends of ours who have told me they hate it and they just skip it.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chris Sitaris and 80% G, don't listen to the news segment.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we already know everything that's in there. Like, I highly doubt that because, you know, Antoine does a lot of digging sometimes because of some really eclectic stuff. So, but anyway, that's their choice and that's fine. I don't get offended by that. Not everyone wants to listen to like that.
Oh, no, and it doesn't matter. They can skip whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I like her format right now. The only thing I would like is to have more regularity, to be more consistent on our release schedule. But that's not something we need to add. That just goes with our own life schedule right now.
Yeah.
Because in the content... Being more consistent in the hobby segment, because we do pretty generic stuff. We go all around some gaming, some gaming review, some events, stuff like that. So when we added the hobby tip of the episode, trying to make sure we have one every episode would be cool. That and the cool stuff on the web. That's two segments that usually I'm the one providing. But sometimes when works is crazy, I forget to do those and we skip them once in a while. I would like to for the next year.
Or I spontaneously create one.
Yes, you fill in sometime, but I would like for next year to be sure we have one every time. But outside of that, I don't think we really need to change much. I could easily see us doing more game reviews, but we don't release often enough to do a lot of those. And I don't think it goes with the type of show we do. So maybe having a different feed for those instead of doing it in the main show every time. Go over some indie games or less well-known games like Freebooter I mentioned earlier in the episode. I don't think we can do a full main topic about that, but doing some short game presentation could be interesting.
And you know what? That might actually be something that's better done in a different format. Maybe not podcast, maybe vidcast that we also release as a podcast or whatever. That way there's a visual component where people can see the models, see the rule books, see kind of how the game plays.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be really cool.
Yeah, and last time we talked about the future of the podcast, we mentioned videos. And the equipment is almost all there. So we just need time and material.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, that's one of the things, like, I'd like to do... I'll talk about what I'd like to change, because yeah, I agree with you. I like the format. I like the layout. You know, if we keep it... I'd like to keep it in that hour and a half range. We've been stretching back out to 2 hours. I think an hour and a half is a good listen. So I think a 90-minute format is really good. I would like to have more hobby tips. Talk about techniques. Talk about painting. Since we're supposed to be mostly a hobby cast, or you know, talk about maybe different, you know, other aspects of the hobby, like your casting and you know, all kinds of things. But the problem is, a lot of that is hard to do over radio as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you talk to someone about two brush blending without really demoing it? I can explain. I can tell you. Well, you know, you put your first color down, and then you know you have a clean brush in your mouth, and you put down that second color next to it. And then you quickly swap brushes and use the clean brush to feather in the color. But me saying it doesn't really tell you how to do it. Like, it's seeing is one thing, hearing is something else. So.
And in that case, even seeing is not enough.
No, for sure. I know. I maybe didn't pick the right technique to talk about, but seeing at least gives you an idea, right?
Yes.
You may not learn, but that's one thing I found over time. I'm going to talk about, you know, I talk about Jim Wapol's videos. I've watched those videos, I don't know how many times, and every time I watch them, I pull something else out of them. Because you see enough, and eventually you start getting ideas, okay, well, maybe this is what I'm doing wrong, or maybe I'll keep doing what I'm doing, but maybe I'll take a bit of that technique and try to do something else with it and see if I can, you know, make it my own. And that really helps you evolve as a painter. You know, and I'm sure, you know, as a sculptor and as you know, all the different aspects of the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, a lot of these things are hard to describe over radio and effectively convey to the listener. So I think if I could change anything, I would try to combine some sort of video tutorial part with maybe with our discussion. So maybe do the discussion about the technique and then have a 5 or 10 minute additional video tutorial they can go watch to kind of see us demoing the technique we're talking about to give them an idea. You know, I'm not proclaiming that we're going to teach people how to paint. I think that's beyond the scope of what we do. But I think, you know, that little added bit of content could be really cool.
Yep, for sure. And it's like we're not doing something like that outside of the podcast. I've done classes, all the group, when we do the hobby night, we always share tips and help other people. You've showed airbrushing to multiple people, all three of us co-host including. So.
Well, that's just it. And, you know, I keep getting asked about the airbrush class if someday I'm going to do it. Like, yeah, I'll do it, but gotta get enough airbrushes, gotta get enough people together that, you know, actually have airbrushes, because... teaching you how to airbrush is going to be awfully hard if you don't have equipment to do it with. I like to think we put out a quality show. Hopefully the listeners agree.
Mm-hmm. And if listeners have any comments about the format or stuff they would like us to add or change, be our guest. Comment on any of our social medias or the website and... we'll see what we think about it.
Yeah, and for God's sakes, like our Facebook page. Someone, anyone, please.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. And actually, that's pretty common, right? Unless you're D6G or GarageHammer or something, it's tough. You get a lot of listeners, and people don't actually want to necessarily interact with you mm-hmm. on a social media, which I get. You know, like our Facebook page, let us know you're there.
Or comment in the show release. But there's also the problem that Facebook doesn't show or post to all our listeners anyway.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a Facebook thing. That we can't fix. But
sadly.
But at least if we knew... Because we'll pull back the curtain and, you know, tell people the truth. The truth of the matter is, with podcasting, it's really hard to get an idea of how many listeners you actually have.
Oh, we have no idea.
We can see number of downloads-ish, but if you're downloading from like a podcatcher where it's buffered on their side, you know, you might have 100 people listening, it'll only show one download, right? And if you're maybe some person is you know, inflating our numbers by downloading on 5 different devices. You know, if you get 50 people doing that, well, that's a lot of listeners, or that aren't actually there.
Yep.
So it makes it tough. At least, you know, if you like our Facebook page, we kind of get an idea how many people are listening. I'd like to think there's more than 6 of you out there. I know there's more than 6 of you, but you get my point.
7 or 8.
Probably. If you count my mother and, you know, your wife. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't listen but likes everything we do.
Yes. She like her page or post, but she don't listen to the show.
Yeah. She has no... let's face it. She probably doesn't have any idea what half her posts are, but it doesn't matter. She's there. She's liking them.
Mm-hmm.
God bless her.
Help her reach.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say about the show, Antoine?
Yeah. We've mentioned consistency, but I think with our crazy schedule, with the difficulty with getting all 4 of us on the show, we've been talking about changing the release schedule for the podcast. And instead of doing bi-weekly, we might go to every 3 weeks instead and try to be more consistent. Having an extra week for editing, for recording, will give us some leeway. And it being less tight in our schedule, we might be able to go for it and still do the consistent release. So, yeah.
And in worst case, if we are super energetic and manage to get a release out early, it's just a bonus, right?
It doesn't
really hurt us.
Yep.
No, for sure.
But yeah, for the not distant future, but for the near future, we're going to release only every 3 weeks instead.
I think another thing we have to do is we have to be willing to sit down and go, you know what? All 4 of us can't get together. Let's take that topic all 4 of us want to talk about, put it aside. We'll get to it a little bit later and do this a 2-man episode.
Yeah, 2 or 3 men. A bit
yeah,
like
exactly.
We're doing right now.
Exactly. And just get the content out there, right? Well, there's plenty of stuff we can talk about. It doesn't have to be a super formal thing.
Oh, yeah. And there's a bunch of people we want to have on the show anyway. So we can't be all 4 of us there when we do an interview.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, I don't have 30 hours to edit a 2-hour show, so. Absolutely. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. Just the adding more video material, having a more consistent show. Those 2 are already a good thing to look at for, look forward for the next year.
Agreed. All right. So let's maybe jump to shout outs. Any shout outs?
Yes. I want to give a shout out to my buddy GV from M3 Studio. So he's doing, it's a look, a friend who's doing some terrain. He's doing custom terrain and some commission pieces. It's mostly worked in foam, and he is an incredible sculptor for sculpting stuff in foam. The detail gets out of those pieces is crazy for a material as flimsy as that. And he is starting to look at recasting in resin. He has done some of his first pieces and first test cast, and they're looking good. So I encourage you to go on Facebook, like his page, M3 Studios. We'll link to it in the show notes. And look at his work. It's really cool. And in the near future, they'll probably be available for sale for his generic pieces. Like he has a shield generator he's working on that looks pretty cool. A good piece for probably Tau or something like that. So for sci-fi stuff. So it's mostly a 40k team, but he is working on different team anyway.
Nice. Okay, and I just want to give a shout out to all the listeners who listen to the show, and who who keep us doing this, right? Because if no one listened, we wouldn't be doing it, because we don't like the sound of our own voices that much. So thank you, everyone who's listened to the show over the last 2 years. Hopefully we'll be here to give you 2 more years. And keep on listening. More good stuff on the way. So I think on that note, we'll sign off, Antoine.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll see you in 3 weeks, Antoine.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find The Game Huntress. Wherever there's XP or achievements, The Game Huntress blog will always be on the hunt. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.